Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. In this podcast, Dr. Diana Mason, Senior Policy Service Professor at the Center for Health Policy and Media Engagement at the George Washington University School of Nursing, discusses neonatal abstinence syndrome. Substance use and addiction are health issues, not criminal ones, but the stigma associated with pregnant women who have substance use disorders or addictions has led to criminal treatment towards these mothers, and a lack of prevention and treatment services for both these mothers and their babies. Babies born to mothers who use substances or who are on medication-assisted treatments for addiction can experience what is called neonatal abstinence syndrome, also known as neonatal withdrawal syndrome. The newborn experiences the effects of withdrawal and may need medication to ease them. Substance use and addiction among women of childbearing age is often a hushed issue that exists in many rural areas, including the Catskill region. One critical access hospital in the Catskill region of New York received a federal grant to prevent and improve the management of neonatal abstinence syndrome. In this podcast, Dr. Mason interviews Julia Reichel, Project Director for the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program at Margaretville Hospital, part of the Westchester Medical Health Network and Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, and Project Coordinator Alicia Griffin. This interview first aired on March 10th, 2021, on Health Cetera in the Catskills radio program on WIOX Radio, and is hosted by Diana Mason.
We've talked a lot on Health Cetera on the Catskills about how substance use and addiction are health issues, not criminal issues. But there is still such stigma associated with women who experience addiction and become pregnant, and it's led to treating these women as criminals and to them not being able to get prevention and treatment services when they need it for both them and for the baby who could be born with what I'm going to call right now neonatal withdrawal syndrome, and Julia can correct me. But it's an issue, and to my surprise, it was an issue that exists in the Catskill region but is largely hidden. Now, Margaretville Hospital has received a large federal grant to prevent and improve the services and how we're reaching out to women and helping them through this difficult time. And the project director is Julia Reichel, who's been on this program before, and Transparency is co-chair with me of the Catskill Addiction Coalition. And Julia, always good to have you on here.
It's always a pleasure, Diana.
And with her is Alicia Griffin, who's the project coordinator for this grant and doing some amazing work. Alicia, thank you so much for joining me today on Health Cetera.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with why did the hospital apply for this grant? What's the problem? What's the issue?
Sure. Thank you. That's sort of the basic ask. In 2016 and 2017, about 5% of the babies born in Delaware County were diagnosed with what was officially called neonatal opioid withdrawal syndrome, NOWS. It's a lot of babies, right? It's
What's the percent again?
A sort of shockingly high rate.
Hmm? What's the percent again?
It's 5%.
5%. Wow.
5% of
That's
the babies.
One of every 20 births.
Yes. Thank you. It's right. And it also, Delaware County was one of the top three counties in the state of New York both of those years with this kind of rate of diagnoses. So this is just the tip of the iceberg of a big problem. It surprised me when I found it. I was doing a needs assessment for a grant for the hospital about opioids, and I came across this one, like, sort of outlier statistic about opioids in this whole pile of statistics. It's a combination of the fact that we're rural and we have no in-county maternity services or birthing places. We have a high rate of people using drugs and opioids specifically in the county. We have a lot of overdoses. That's one of the indicators of that. And we can surmise from these data points that there are people who are pregnant who are either using drugs or are using medication-assisted treatment, which is replacement therapies that also do create some withdrawal symptoms in a baby when the baby is born. What's really funny about this, right, is that the way to, quote-unquote, combat neonatal abstinence syndrome or neonatal withdrawal syndrome isn't to, like, super hard focus on the baby with the symptoms. You know, that there is, the syndrome is a real syndrome. It's withdrawal from an opioid. shakes, tremors, nausea, crotchetiness. You know, a baby who had opioids in its system because its parent was using some kind of opioid, whether completely legal medication or illicit drug, has some symptoms. But those symptoms, once the baby withdraws, go away, and there aren't really any lasting problems for that baby. Withdrawal is a thing that sucks. It's no fun, but it doesn't seem to have long-lasting impact. That isn't, like, short-term, there haven't been any huge longitudinal studies following babies who have grown up, but this isn't neonatal alcohol syndrome, right? Like, it isn't some of the other sort of substance-related issues that babies have. It's actually an acute sensation, like an acute set of symptoms that then go away. Okay, so we zoom out from the baby to the system. So you've got people who are pregnant, who are using some kind of opioid, they're having babies. What this means is that we need to treat those folks. We need to target them. We need to sort of see why are people using opioids, especially if they're using heroin instead of like methadone or buprenorphine, these approved medications that are much more safe for both the baby and the mom. How can we sort of intervene to help? So that's why we applied for this grant. The rates were high. There was no focus in our region on parents who are using drugs or who are in recovery and their special needs, right? Because this is an intersection of parenting and maternity stuff and then drug use and recovery from drug use. And so those two things intersect. And, of course, right at that intersection is such a giant boatload of stigma that it's hard to even justify that this is something worth looking at, right? Yeah. Before I heard about this, I also didn't understand sort of how those things intersect. So this has really been an educational process for me, too, mm-hmm. of seeing that these statistics show that there's a huge unmet need of support for parents, really. Yeah. That's what this is actually about. So we applied, and because our rates are so high and because we proposed some innovative solutions to it, or at least ways to address it, we got this grant from the federal government to specifically address this syndrome and the parenting needs that underlie it.
So, Alicia Griffin, talk a little bit about what are the kinds of things that you're doing under this grant?
Like Julia was just saying, trying to reach out to the people who are either pregnant already and actively using or actively using and could become pregnant. A lot of it is, it could be preventative measures or it could be caring for mom while pregnant. So being able to get the parent onto a medicated assisted treatment, into a rehab if they wanted to. Our main goal is to prevent the baby being born with withdrawals, and also to prevent CPS and family court and this family being torn apart if there was an option of helping them before that. So that's pretty much what I'm doing.
And right CPS now. Is Child Protective Services, right?
Yeah.
So how do you find the women? How do you know who to serve?
That's actually one of our biggest struggles right now is reaching out to and getting these women. I feel like a lot of it is stigma based. I mean, when someone's actively using, they don't want to go around and announce that and really ask for help a lot of the time. But now, say you're pregnant on top of it, the shame and the guilt, it's very hard to find these women or these people. So I think a lot of what we're doing is trying to break that stigma, letting people know that we're there to help without judgment, without any mandated reporting, that we are actually there to help and try and get them in the correct situation and lifestyle before it ends up like more trouble.
Yeah. And so, Julia?
We want to give folks their options, right? Like, I think one of the things, I know of people who are pregnant and who are using right now, and we are not able to build real trust with folks who are doing that at the moment because we're new. Right. We don't have a track record yet of really helping folks out in a way that feels safe. So we're trying to build our track record. And I think part of that is really insisting on, like Alicia said, We are primarily here to give people who are pregnant or who might become pregnant and who have substance use issues their options, right? We work with the county, the Delaware Opportunities in the county. We work with DSS in Ulster County, right? We have all these relationships with these other agencies where we know how they work, but unlike them, we are not mandated to do anything about anybody's custody of their child. Instead, our specific job is to provide non-judgmental, non-reportable support for people so that they can access information, make their choices about what will be best for them, right? And then, you know, give them information. But also, one thing I should mention, one of the big pushes we've been doing is Alicia's been trained as a postpartum doula, right, a birth postpartum support expert, and I'd love her to talk a little bit about that because that's really unusual, it's pretty new, and is another way we can show, look, we're really here to provide sort of expertise about birth and substance use disorder all at once. Alicia, can you talk a little bit about how that's gone?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the postpartum doula, so it's not the birth. I'm not going with them in their birth process, but I could also but obviously be helpful in getting them into a MAP provider if they wanted to. But after they have baby, it's being able to be at their house with them and support not only them but their families. Say that they have a partner or even themselves that have never had a baby before, are either in recovery or trying to get to that point, having a newborn baby is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So it's being in the house with these families, trying to get a schedule, if they have older children, trying to incorporate them with it without them isolating, being overwhelmed, being there just as support to make sure that, that mom is eating, especially if she's breastfeeding. You sit there and you stress about if the baby's being fed all day and you don't think about if you've eaten or drank enough water or enough fluids, down to making sure that a load of laundry is done. Like actually just being there to be an extra hand for the mom or family in those first couple weeks after a baby has come home.
And I would think that because postpartum is depression, postpartum depression is an issue for women across the board, whether you're using substances or not, that kind of experience could just complicate this even more. And so the idea of having a support person there who's going to support you through it and support the family through it is just brilliant. And it, you know, makes you think maybe everybody needs a postpartum doula.
Right?
Yeah. Or have access to one. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. The strategy here is, you know, we talk about CPS because the rationale behind taking children away from parents who have substance use issues is that the parents aren't able to parent, right? That's the assumption. And so we are going to supporting their parenting.
Yeah.
We're going to strengthen their parenting. We're going to offer them resources. We're going to offer them assists and so that we can show these other agencies, no, actually, this person is supported. This person is figuring stuff out. And that means that they should be able to keep their kid.
Yeah.
And have that mother diet, you know, that mother infant or parent infant bond with the baby. So just to note, to circle back to the science on this, the research is overwhelming that removing a baby who has neonatal withdrawal syndrome from its parent is bad for the baby. It's just bad for the baby. You know, the standard of care used to be if a baby showed signs of withdrawal after birth that you would whisk the baby off to the ICU.
Yes.
That has noticeably worse outcomes for the baby.
Yeah.
So educating caregivers throughout this whole process to say, okay, this baby has withdrawal syndrome. No need to panic. This is understandable. No need to call CPS.
Yeah.
Why don't we first investigate what's happening with the mom and the baby, see if we can support the baby through the withdrawal process, see if we can support the parent through the post-birth process, and see if we can get them to a place that's stable. And then everybody has a better start. And we have parents who have been through this experience who can talk really movingly about what it was like to have their baby ripped out of their arms at the hospital, including parents who were doing medication-assisted treatment, which is the gold standard evidence-based treatment for substance use disorder, right? They were doing the responsible thing, but because of confusion about what that means, if their baby was showing signs of withdrawal, somehow they were branded as a drug-using parent who couldn't parent their baby, and the baby was taken away. You know, so we're trying to correct the stigma on all of this. But also, I do want to stress that if you are using drugs and have a baby, you still deserve top-notch medical care for both you and your baby. And still, the gold standard is for the parent and the baby to remain together. That's just better for everybody.
And so, Alicia, what are some of the challenges that you're finding that come up in this work?
I think I have to say one of our biggest challenges right now is really getting to the people that need our help. That has to be one of the biggest things we're facing. A lot of the people that I have been working with are still being judged by their doctors. So their OBGYNs are obviously not their primary caregivers who are prescribing this medication to them. They're still walking in being judged, looking, getting the looks like they are bad parents already. I actually went to an appointment with someone I know who it was her first appointment, first baby, excited. She was on a MAP program, so she feels like she's doing the right thing. And right away, the doctor had said to her, well, why are you taking this? You shouldn't be taking this. And both of us kind of just looked at each other and we're like, that's fixing heroin at this moment. So that's still one of our big struggles is the stigma everywhere.
And the need to educate even healthcare providers about what the best practices and evidence say and the gold standard is. Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, Alicia's going to doctor's appointments with people, which is just, like, the best, right? Yeah. So you have this person, Alicia's a mom, right? She's been there. She's also been in recovery. So to have you in that office with somebody, Alicia, like that's what the grant was designed to do, was to have that voice and face. Because I know that must be like a huge difference, right? You just have backup, you know, you don't have to be in charge of insisting that you're doing the right thing on your own. You have somebody else. And I should also point out that this grant is also paying for a wellness coordinator who we've hired her. She'll start on the 29th of March. She will be stationed at Margaretville Hospital. Her name is Jane Fairburn. And her entire job will be to make doctor's appointments with folks, make sure that if people need a ride to the doctor, they can get it, get people onboarded onto medication-assisted treatment if they want it, get them into rehab or detox if they need it. Pregnant people I think that's not indicated for most people who are pregnant, right? The idea is to get you onto medication-assisted treatment instead of suddenly taking any substance out of your system because that's more dangerous. But her whole role is to provide these linkages to care. So we've got the face of the person, we've got our peer, Alicia, who's killing it, and who's coordinating sort of this whole effort. And then we've got the wellness coordinator who is going to provide the connective tissue for all that bureaucracy. And that's the goal, is to give people, make it easier, reduce the barriers to good, compassionate care for people.
Yeah. So what can the community do to support this work?
Alicia, I'd love you to take this one. I think we talked about it a little bit already.
I feel like I keep saying it, but even the community, I feel like the stigma comes from everywhere. And it's not just the doctors or police. It could be just from community members. So almost having that open mind, like if you know someone that's using and could become pregnant, if you knew someone who is pregnant and actively using, be there to support. Be there to say, hey, I have this info, I can pass this along to you, kind of just be almost like a referral basis for us so that we can spread the word and let people know that we are out there.
And how do people get more information about this service?
So there are a couple ways. Alicia has volunteered to give out her cell because she's a mensch. But we also have a hotline at the Catskills Addiction Coalition, which is slightly less personal, so I'm going to give you that one. If you call this hotline, one of our peers or I will answer it. The number is 607-441-6050.
One more time.
607-441-6050.
And what happens when you call that number?
When you call that number, you get connected to a certified recovery peer advocate or me, the program director, and we keep all calls confidential. It's entirely a way to sort of first step to, okay, I need some help in the addiction arena. What are my resources? you can either get hooked up right away with one of our peers to, you know, do direct counseling in that form, or we can connect you to a doctor who can prescribe medication-assisted treatment. We get calls like this fairly frequently, and we it's our primary way of sort of triaging need, right? So it just goes to our cell phones, and I pick up anytime it rings as best I can, although I know that we have three other people who it also goes to.
And so I can call, and I don't have to give my name?
No, you don't have to tell me your name. You don't have to tell me anything about you. You know, if you want to call, just say, you know, I don't want to tell you who I am, but tell me where I can get a hookup to a doctor who can prescribe me buprenorphine. I got you.
Great. Alicia, anything you want to add to that? Is there, yeah.
You know, I guess, yes, even if, so say there is a parent out there who's already somewhat on their feet, not actively using, we do have, we just started it, a mother's support group. So it's mothers and women in recovery, and they can always join that, too, if you're just stuck at home with that newborn already and you don't really want to ask for extra help, but you just want to see other faces and build some type of support network. You can always join that from Zoom, or you could come in person. In person right now, it is at the Samadhi Recovery Community Center in Kingston, and that's at 122 Clinton Avenue in Kingston. Or you can always join by Zoom. And the Zoom link is on the calendar on the Samadhi website.
And if I call the Catskill Addiction Coalition hotline, can I get that information there as well?
Absolutely, yes.
And again, that number is 607-441-6050. Well, I want to thank you both. This is such important work, and I don't know if you heard my opening, but I was talking about Teokusen Ghost Horse and First Voices Radio and how he was talking about, you know, how colonizers come into a world with their own mental world and they impose it. And this idea of really thinking about our mental worlds. And I think what we're asking people to do is think about your mental world around people who are using substances. And certainly with addiction, that this is a health issue. It is not a criminal issue. And we've talked a lot about this in the past, but I hope that we can help our community to change its mental set around women who have used drugs or are using drugs or are in recovery and are pregnant, are mothers, et cetera, and looking at how we can support them. And certainly the work you both are doing is so crucial. Thank you so much for all the great work you're doing, both of you, and for coming on today.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Dr. Diana Mason and production assistant Kai Volsey.